Today's shir is Masechta Gittin on Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis at the beginning of the eighth line from the bottom of the Amud with the words, Boy Rami Bar Chama. Boy Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama had the following question. Hayu muhzakim betavla shehi shalah, if people knew that a certain tablet belonged to the Isha, the get kasef aleha, and there was a get that was written on that tablet, vaharehi yoitza mitachas yodoi, and now we see that the husband is producing this get, which before we had known belonged to the Isha. So we understand that the Isha was makne that tavlod that she owned to the husband, because as Rashi points out, there's a requirement of Vinasan, that he should give her a get. Means that he has to give the safer creases that he's giving to his wife is something that he owned, and now he's giving it over to his wife. But we understand, we knew that this get beforehand had belonged to the woman. So how does it come now to the man? Must be that she was makna the get to the husband, and then he gave it to her. So is that halachically acceptable or not? Mao, what is the din? What's the question here? Me, I'm reading, do we say a knuya knisolei? That it must be that she was makna to get to her husband. And therefore, subsequently, when he gives it back to her, even though he's giving it to her back right away, she made a kinyan to him, now it's his, and now he's mekayim v'nasan, that he's giving it to the woman, to his wife. Oy dilmor, do we say, the marshal takes out the word isha, oy dilmo lo yoda leknuye, or perhaps she doesn't know to make a kinyan. So the Ran says it doesn't mean that a woman is not as capable as making a kinyan as a man, but what the Gemara means to say is that, as Rashi and Tosfos both say, let's see the Rashi inside, divrei amaskal lo yoda leknuye, Loigamra umakni dover shein beliba lasis matana gemura veloigirsha ela b'shalah vanan beinim v'nasan. Because even though she'll say, yes, I gave it to my husband as a kinyan, since she knows that right after he gets it, he's going to give it back to her in order to divorce her, so in her mind, she wasn't giving him anything. She's giving him something temporarily. She's like loaning it to him. As Tosfos says, divrei amaskal isha lo yoda leknuye, the second bottom Tisus, Pirish Bedover, Shehu Machserloi, Veloi Gomeru Miknele, Ela Betiris, Sheila Mishiloserloi. She's borrowing it, she's lending it to her husband. That's the pshat that Layoda Leknuye, and she didn't mean to give it him a permanent kinyan, and therefore it comes out he's being Megarsher with a document that she herself owned, and we require Vinasan, that the husband has to give something to the wife, and therefore will not be good. That is the shaila of Rami Bar Chama. Amar Abaya said, Abaya, Toshma, come and hear from a Mishnah. In Masechta Idiyos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, Af Hu Heyed, and Rashi says, who is giving the testimony here? It's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and actually the Rishash points out that this must be a Torah Sefer in Rashi, because if you look up the Mishnah Masechta Idiyos, you'll see clearly that it is Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim, who was the one who was made on the following. He was made al kvar katan, on a small village, shehayu b'tzad Yerushalayim, that was right next to Yerushalayim. V'hayu b'yizakenecha, there was an elderly person, and we're going to see later. It means he was also a Talmud Chacham. V'hayu malvil l'chol b'nei kvar, he used to give out loans to all the members of the village. V'kaisev b'ksav yadoi, and he would make it a malva b'shtar. He would make the loan documented in the shtar. And how would he go about it? He would write out the loan in the shtar in his own handwriting. V'acherim chayisrim. And then he would have other witnesses who would sign on this shtar. And the din is that the loiva has to give the shtar to the malva, that I am loaning from you, I am borrowing from you money. So what happened over here, this is the exact same case, that's the Gemara's analogy from that case in Idiyos to our shal of Rami Bar Chama. So what happened here was that the malva gave the lova, the shtar, The old man, the Zaken, he's the one who wrote it out. He gave it to the Lova, and the Lova subsequently gave it right back to the Malva. Ubo Maislufnei Chachamim, and this story came in front of the Chachamim, the Hichshiru, and the Chachamim said that this is a valid thing. And the question is, Vamai, why is it in fact a valid shtar halvo, a loan which is documented? Habiina sefer mikna v'leka. We learn out from a pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Lamed Beis that it is required to have a sefer mikna. Over there it says that Boruch ben Neria wrote down the transaction that took place of selling of a field in what is called a Sefer Mikna, as Rashi explains, Divri HaMaskel, Vobina Sefer Mikna V'leka, Shehamakna Tzorach Lichtov Es HaShtar, Sari Mechurlach. The mocher has to give over to the lekeach a shtar, and he has to say in the shtar, my field is sold to you. And how does this work? There's a transference of ownership from the mocher to the lekech, from the buyer, from the seller to the buyer. So what is causing that? Let's say you sell a field. We know you can make a kinyan bekesef, b'shtar, b'chazaka. If you're selling the field with a shtar, it means that you are not only documenting the sale, but the shtar itself is that which causes the sale to take place. So not only is the field being transferred, but we learn from that pasuk in Yirmiyah that the very document itself, which is recording this transaction, has to also go over from the mocher to the lekeach. It has to be the mocher's document, and now when he gives it over to the lekeach, thereby he accomplishes that the field itself is being transferred, the ownership from the mocher to the lekeach. So the question over here is, how could the Chachamim in that story of the old man in that village next to Yerushalayim, how could they validate this shtar by a shtar havah? The loiva has to give it to the malva. And it's not the loiva's. The malva, the old man, was the one who was writing the shtar for the loiva. Must be, if you need sefer mikna, you always ask if a lekka you don't have. Elolav. It must be that we say that even though the old man knew that right when he gives it to the lova, the one who was borrowing the money, what's the lova going to do? He's going to turn right around and give it back to the malva. And we require a sefer mikna, we just learned from Yirmiyah. This shtar has to be owned by the lova. Must be that the malva, the old man, was makne to the lova, even though it was only for a short time, and then the lova subsequently gave it back to the old man, the one who had lent him the money. So just like over there, it's valid, so we have to say over here by a woman also, when she gets from her husband, but it was her tablet, it must be that even though she knew it was only for a short while, she was makne to her husband, and then her husband, vinasan, her husband in fact gave her something that he owned. Now Tosfos over here, in Divri HaMaskel, the bottom Tosfos, v'kaisav v'ksav yodei v'acherem chaismim, Tosfos asks a very strong question, v'im toimer, ma inyin shtari halvo leget, de'enam elo l'raya. How did we explain shtar mikna? In the case of Yirmiyah, it was very good. There it's a document that is concerning a transaction of selling a field. So there we explained that the mocher, who owns the field, he has to also own the piece of paper, and when he transfers that shtar, that document, over to the lekeach, by the same token, that is causing that the field gets transferred. So the paper, the shtar, has to belong to the mocher. But here we're not talking about selling. Here the case of the old man was a case of lending money. So Tosfos says, what is the function of a document by shtari halvah? It's not causing that I am meshabed myself, that I owe you money. It's not causing that my fields now are a security for this loan that I have borrowed money from you. That shibud takes place even without the shtar, as we're soon going to prove. The shtar is merely a proof. It is a shtar raya. but it's not a shtar that is accomplishing anything. When do you need that I have to own the piece of paper? That's in a case when I'm selling you something. So just like I'm selling you the field, I have to also own the paper, and then I transfer the paper to you, and thereby I transfer the field to you as well. But here, when I borrow money from you, I automatically become a shubid to pay you. There's a lien on me and on my property to pay you this obligation. The paper is not accomplishing anything. The paper is merely a proof. And what's the riot to this? Says Tosfos, De'ein em el rai, v'afilo b'milva apeh ha'yagoyvim emishab de'iloy mishum de'ein lakoyl. Let's say I don't have a document. Let's say I made a loan with you verbally, I lent you money, and I just said, okay, I'm not going to write it down, but you know that you owe me $1,000, so really, technically, the din should be that I'm obligated to pay you the $1,000 without a shtar. And really, you should be able, if I subsequently sold the field, you should be able to go to that field to the lekeach and say to the lekeach, the malva, the one who lent the money should say, I have a previous lien on this field because it was sold after the loan, and therefore I should be able to collect my what's coming to me from this field. The Chachamim said that since a milva al peh, when it's not documented, doesn't have a coil, people don't know about it, so it'll come out every time I buy a field from you, I'm not aware that there's a lien on it. So they made a rule that a milva al peh cannot collect from a field that was sold after the loan took place. However, a milva bishtar, that when it's documented, there it has a coil, the word gets out that the loan took place. So when I bought the field, I knew I had we assumed that I had heard that there was a loan. I knew that one day it's possible the lender would come and try to collect that loan. If the borrower didn't have any of his own property to pay back, he would come to the one who bought it. So I took a chance when I did it. Therefore, if the malva comes to you, you have to pay. So what is Tosfos proving from this? Tosfos is proving from a milva al peh, we see that really there's a shibud, there's an obligation to repay it without it being documented. The only purpose of a shtar is to record it. It should be a written record. So when it's only a written record where the shtar is not affecting the kinyan, why do I need Sefer Mikneh? What's the Gemara's proof from the case of Yirmi of Sefer Mikneh to Shtarei Milvah? That's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos answers three lines from the bottom, the Nira Lefarish, the Nira Legemara, the Gemara understood the Mestama, probably, Kiv and Shahaya Malvil, Chol Bnei Yir, since he lent money to all the people that were in the city, Gam Heim Ahoyu Oysim Loi Toiva. They used to do favors to him. V'noisim Loi Matana. Oh, he's such a good guy. He lends money to everybody. Let's give him a present. Oy Marchum Loi Sadish. They used to sell him property. The Pa'amim Shaloi Haya Knuyan Loi El Bishtar. And the only way that he received these properties through a gift or through a sale was by a document. Kagoin Sadin. My field is given to you, or I'm selling it to you. Those stories he also used to write down, the old man, and other people, witnesses, would sign, and then he would give it to the moicher, and the moicher would give it right back to him. So Tosfos is answering that the Gemara is not speaking about the loans themselves. The Gemara is speaking about the transactions that took place, either a present or a sale, that happened through a shtar, and now in fact the shtar is not just a proof, but the shtar is affecting, is causing the whole transaction to take place. So where does the mocher have the shtar? He has it from the old man. The old man just gave it to him 5 minutes before, and he's giving it right back. How does that work? So from that, the Gemara brings a proof that it must be that the old man was makne to him, even though it's for a few minutes, and he gave it then right back. The and the Chassam Sofer say that really Tosfos would seem to be a little doichik, because Tosfos says Mestama, they used to give gifts. First of all, I have a question here. Why isn't it a question of ribbis? Because we know if I give a loan to someone and he does me a favor back, even though we didn't discuss it, if we discussed it before, a monetary favor, it could be ribbis deraisa. But even if we didn't discuss it before, he decided to do it, it's ribbis derabanan. So if anybody has an answer on this, please write to me at grossman@ou.org. Rabbi Yitzchak Minster Shlita from the OU suggested that perhaps ribbis derabanan is only when I do something that I wouldn't have done except for the loan. But let's say now that I had a loan from you, we have a relationship. And because of a relationship, I would have given you this present anyway. I'm not giving, when is it ribbis derabanan? When I give it to you only, solely, something extra because you gave me a loan. But if I'm doing it because we have now a new relationship that I never knew you. Suddenly you come, you heard that I need money, you give me a loan. Oh, I start having connection with you. So I would give you a present anyway. That would not be considered ribbis derabanan. But Tosfos whole pshat is not muchrach in the Gemara. The Gemara seems to be saying the old man gave the paper for the loan and not for a matana or mechira, and therefore the Tosfos HaChoshen and so too the Chasam Sofer say, and the Chasam Sofer gives an explanation that you're right that you brought a proof from a milva balpeh when it's not documented in a shtar that really you can collect from fields that were sold after the loan, but the rabbanan made a takana that you shouldn't be able to do so because or else people would buy a field and they'd never know that there was a loan on it. But now that the rabbanan were mesakin, says the Chasam Sofer, that only by a milva b'shtar can I collect from property that was sold after the loan took place from those lekuchim who bought the fields? Now that that is sold, now midrabbanan, by the enactment of the rabbis, it comes out that now, in fact, what causes the shibud to take place? It comes out the shtar causes it. Before the Tanis Chachamim, you're right that the shibud was there automatically once I made the loan. Had nothing to do with the document. But now that the Rabbanan instituted that the only time that I can go to someone who bought the karka is only if I wrote it down and there's a coil that everybody knows that this took place. So now it comes out that even by a shtar havora, the shtar is not merely a proof, but the shtar in fact causes the transaction from taking place, causes my shibud and my field shibud that I'm going to sell from going into effect. Then again, the Gemara says, even by shtar avora, it's a shtar mikna. It has to belong to the lova, because through the shtar, he's machayev himself to the malva. So it must be that the old man was makna to the lova, and the lova gave it right back. That is the raya of Abaye. Continues the Gemara in the last line of the Amid. Amar Ravu, my kushya, what is your proof from the Mishnah Masechta Idiyos? Dilma, as we turn to the Chof Alef Amid Aleph, Zakin Shiny, and Rashi says Zakin here means Chacham. The Chacham, he knew the halachas. He knew that we need a sefer mikna, Tosfos according to his pshat, or the simple pshat of the Gemara, Shtari Hava, but a sefer mikna is required here. So the Zaken knew that when he gives the Shtar Hava, or the Shtar Mecher back to the other party, he's going to have to be maknet to them. The yada liknuya, he knows the halachas that he has to first be maknet. But how can you bring a riot to a woman? A woman does not halachas. So the Sefer Birchas Avram says very nice that the question between Abaye and Rava is the following. Abaye is looking at Rami Bar Chama's question as a simple legal matter. When I give you something for a short while and you return it to me, do I say that I'm lending you what belongs to me, or do I say, even though it's for 5-10 minutes, I'm actually giving it to you, and you're giving it back to me? So that was Rami Bar Chama's question. Abaye said, I have a proof from the Zaken that even though he gave it to the other party for a few minutes, he was makne to him. Says Rava, no. Rami Bar Chama's was a deeper question. Rami Bar Chama's question was not only because it's a short amount of time, the back and forth, so perhaps it was only like a loan. Rami Bar Chama's question is that maybe a woman lacks the halachic knowledge to know that she's required to give it forever to their husband, so that when he gives it back, he's giving her back vinasa, and he's giving something that he owns. So Memela says, Rava, if that's included in Rami Bar Chama's question, Zok and Shiny, a Chacham is different. He knows the legal matters, and the woman does not know. El Amar Rava, I'll bring you a proof from a Mishnah Masechta Bava Basra Daf Kuf Ayin Hey Amid Beis Mehacha. Or Rav Hayotze La'achar Chitim Shtar Rois. If a star was written between a Malva and a Loiva, and the Loiva gave the star to the Malva, I borrowed from you $1,000, and we have witnesses that signed that Reuven borrowed from Shimon $1,000, and now the Loiva gives it to the Malva. But the Orev, the guarantor, came along after the Edom had already signed on the Shtar Havor, and then he wrote with his own handwriting. As Rashi says on the fourth line, at the end of the line, Vani Orev, he wrote those words underneath the signatures of the Edim. So the din is, if the Malve comes to the Loiv and he has no money, he goes to who? The Orev. Goivam and Chasim and Chayrin. He can only collect for whatever property the Orev has, which are free, meaning which are not Meshubarim. He didn't sell them to anybody else. Why? Rashi explains, because since the Orev didn't sign his John Hancock, he didn't put his name down before the Edom signed, but rather he put it down after the Edom signed. So concerning the Orev, it's only like an obligation of a milva pet. It's not considered a milva b'shtar. The Edom that make the shtar, they signed above the Orev signature. So as far as the Orev's concerned, it's a milva peh. Ah, if it's a milva peh, we learned before, the takonis chachamim was to save the people that the milva peh, you are not gover from property that was sold to somebody else after the loan. So memela, therefore, you can only collect from the Orev himself. But meanwhile, we have another issue over here. The issue is that, again, we have learned Sefer Mikneh. And we explained that Sefer Mikneh is required whenever I affect something with a document, that document has to belong to me. The Orev is being Meshabed himself. Good. He's not Meshabed himself that you can go and collect from the Lekuchim, from those he sold the property to. But he is Meshabed his B'nai Chayrin, what's free. What he has in his house, what he, his fields, are obligated to the Baal Chayv. So how does he make this obligation? Must be that he got the shtar back from the malva after the Edom had signed, and then he gave it back to the malva. Meaning that the malva, who's an amoritz, he's not a zakin, a plain Jew, he doesn't necessarily know the halachas, and he gave it to the Orev. The Orev now has the shtar, and he gives it back to the Malva. He writes his on the Orev on the shtar. He's obligating himself through the shtar. So what do we see? That the Malva, who's not a Zaken, your whole question from that case in Idias was, oh, Zaken, he knows the halachas. But here's a plain Jew, and the plain Jew knew also that I have to be maknet to the Orev. He'll sign his name, and then he'll be maknet back to me, even though it's a short time, even though he's not a Talmud Chacham. So the same thing should apply by a woman as well in the question of Rami Bar Chama. Yes, she gives it to her husband forever. It's not just a loan. And then the husband gives her to get back. Amar Rav Ashi, my kushya. What's the comparison to that case of the Orev? Dilma Gavra Shiny, the Yadda Laknuye. Good. The man is not necessarily a Zakan. He's not a Talmud Chacham, but he's a man. He's busy all day with business affairs. He knows he may not be a learned person, but through life's experience, he knows that in transactions, this is what you have to do. He knows that if the Orev is going to make a shibud through the shtar, I have to give it to the Orev that it's his, and then he'll give it back to me. But a woman doesn't necessarily know all this. So what's your proof?
He says, Ravashi mehacha. It's going to be from a Mishnah, very far off. You know where? Rashi on the side, the Masar Shashah says, Lekamen chav beis amid beis. In one blot further, we'll bring a raya from the following Mishnah. And this is speaking about a woman. Isha koisevis as gita. A woman can write her own get. And the Gemara is assuming it means she can write it on her own writing material. And when a man pays. So let's go first to the case of the woman with the get. The woman writes it on her own material. She gives it then to the husband, and the husband uses it in order to divorce her. So here's the Klora Raya, that Vinosan, that she gave it to the husband forever. It's not just a loan for 5 minutes, and then he acquires it, he gives it back to her, and it becomes hers. And so to a man, when he pays off a ksuba, he wants to get a receipt from his wife that he paid off the ksuba. He writes the shiver, he gives it to his wife, and his wife gives it back to him. The Rashba says that from here really is no raya, because this is in fact merely, this doesn't affect anything. It's merely a proof. And we said before, our whole discussion of this whole sugya is when we're speaking about a mikna, where you're accomplishing a transaction or a shibud. Here, it's clearly a raya, but the Gemara's proof is from the first case, from the case of Isha Koisevis Eskita. And the Mishnah concludes, She'ein Kiyim Haget Ela B'Chosmav. The main thing is not what the wife wrote it on to begin with. The main thing is at the end, with the signatures that validates the get with the Edom. This is simple according to Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds 80 Chassim McCarthy. They're the ones that affect and make this document into a get crisis, into something that cuts off the husband from the wife. So therefore, if at the end she has given something that she wrote, but she gave it to her husband, and now the Edom signed, so at the time when the Edom signed, it was in fact the husband's, and now Vinasan. Now he took that document and he gave it to his wife. Everything is fine. So here we have it's not a Talmud Chacham, it's not a man, it's the woman who's doing it, and we see, even though it's for a short duration, and she's not a Talmud Chacham, still, we do say that she knows enough to be makne totally to the husband to give it back to her. Asks Tosfos, why doesn't the Gemara bring... What do we have to go to idiots and Bava Basra Kufay and Hayamid Beis? One blot further, we have a raya from an open Mishnah. Why didn't the Gemara bring this raya right away? So Tosfos' answer is because it's not such a strong raya. Because we could push off the raya and say that there it's speaking about that she wrote it on his material. It doesn't say it was her material. But once we tried bringing proofs from everywhere else, which didn't work, so finally Rav Ashi says, Mistama, since the Mishnah is not Machalek, it doesn't make a difference. It would seem, even if she wrote it on her own material, it would be good. And therefore, it is a proof that the husband was coined from the wife, and then he gave it back to her, and that is a valid get. And this will answer the question of Rami Bar Chama. Now begins Rava with a new inyan. Amar Rava, kasev la get, if the husband wrote a get to his wife, uvenasnai biyad avdoi, and he put it into the hand of his slave, an evikhnani, the kasev la shtar matana olav, and then he wrote a document of a present concerning the eved. So now she has the get in the hand of the eved. Now she was coined the eved. So the din is, kanaso, she is kona d'eved. We know an eved is compared to karka, and karka is nikna through kesef shtar v'chazaka, so shtar is a valid kinyan by an eved knani, and therefore, the woman through the shtar matana was kona d'eved from her husband, umiz gareshes boy. And now, it's her chatzar. The eved is like her property, and her property contains within it a get, so now she gets the get. So really, Rashi explains that we have to say it's gita v'chatzera born ke'echad, that both things happen simultaneously. Because how does she acquire the chatzera? We know kol mashakana isha kana baila. Whatever a woman owns belongs to her husband. So how is she kaina the chatzera only if it's a valid get? If she's not connected to her husband anymore, then she can acquire things. How can she be kind of the get only if she has a chotzer? But she, so, we have to say both things happen at the same time. So in one shot, at the same time, we say that she's kohen de'eved, it becomes her chatzer, and at that very moment, that chatzer is able to acquire her get, and the get is the thing that allows her to be kohen de chatzer, because otherwise whatever she acquires goes to her husband. So both things happen simultaneously, and that's how this works. Ask the Gemara, Vamai, why in fact should this work? I chatzer malachasi David is a walking chatzer. And we have a rule which Rashi brings down, that Rava himself, the Baal member of this halacha in Bava Metzia, on the Testament base, Rava himself said, chatzer malachas like kana, that a walking chatzer is not kaina. So how could I say here that she's kaina to get through the chatzer of her eved when it's a walking chatzer, which it doesn't work? Rava lishitasai v'chitem, if you're going to tell me bo'imed, it's speaking about that the eved was standing, he wasn't walking. V'amar Rava, Rava again himself said, kol she'ilu mahalach leikana, if by walking he would not be kind as a chatzer. Oimid v'yoshiv leikana, so if he's standing or sitting, he's also not kind, because since at any moment he could get up and leave, he's not considered a chatzer, which is kind. So it's, how's it going to work? V'hilchus that Allah is bekafus, that if he's bound up, and he's not able to walk, so then the halacha is that it's considered a non-movable chatzer, and it will be kind of...
get ridden on him? Or
is not on him. He's not on him. Right, right. He's holding the get, but it works because he is considered a stationary. He's bound up. V'amar Rav, and Rav said a similar halacha. Kosev la get, if he wrote his wife a get, and he gave it in his chatzer that he owns, the kosev la shtar matana, and then he wrote a shtar matana, a present in a document, on the chatzer, sokanaso, she was kohen the chatzer, umizgarashis boy, and then the chatzer acquires the get that is in the chatzer, and she is misgarsh through it. So again, you have to say that both things are happening simultaneously, that she's able to acquire the chatzer because of the get, and now that she has the chatzer, she's able to acquire the get. Both things happen at the same time. So really, this is the exact same halacha as we learned before, because we said Eved has a din of a chatzer, and now we're speaking about a real chatzer. Why did Rav have to say these two dinim twice? With Tzrika, you need both. Why? The Yashmin and Eved, if Rav would have just told me the din by an Eved, Havamin, I would have thought, Dafke Eved, that this halacha is only by an Eved. Avol chatzer, but by chatzer, we should say it does not work, ligzer, because we should make a gzera. Her chatzer that came to her afterwards, as Rashi explains, that what about if he put a get in his field? And he didn't give the field to his wife, he gave the field to somebody else. And then the somebody else gave it to his wife. So then, of course, it would not be a get. Why? Because when he put the get in the chatzer, it wasn't her chatzer. When it became her chatzer, who is it becoming her chatzer from? Someone else. The din is that the husband has to give it to her. Here it's coming out that the someone else is giving her to get. It's not the husband who's giving her to get. So memela, in this case, we wouldn't say that the get and the chatzer happen simultaneously from the husband, because it's not happening from the husband. It wouldn't be good. So I would think that even if the husband gave her the shtar matana, not to a stranger, but gave her the shtar matana, I would have thought that maybe we should say it's also no good, because we should make a gzera. That's why Rav had to teach me. If he would have just said Eved, I wouldn't have known this thing by chatzer. So he had to teach me that by chatzer it is also valid. Ask Tosfos a question, right before it becomes the wide lines, Divrei Maskil Avil b'chatzer v'im toimar, that from Eved himself we see that we're not gozer for chatzera bo l'achar mikan. We can make the same case by Eved. He didn't give the Eved to her, he gave the Eved to a stranger. And the din is, if he would give the Eved to a stranger and the Eved's holding the get, then she would not be Megureshes, because it's not a direct Nesina from the husband to her. It's going through a third party. The husband's not causing it, so therefore it would not be valid. And yet we don't make that Gzeira when he gave it directly, the Eved, to her. So you see, you don't make that gzera. Taisa says, no, that's not a proof. Because by an eved, since the whole din, like we learned before, eved is only kind of for chotzer, is when he's tied up. So this is such a far-fetched case that it's a milsvoy shchicha legazer rabbanan. The eved is tied up, and he's going to give maybe a gzera, because he'll give the eved to a stranger, and that stranger will give it. It's a whole far-fetched case. For that, the Rabbanan were not geyser. But by chotzer, where we don't have the element also of kafus, of tied up involved, there it would make sense that it would be a logical gzera, and yet we don't say it. Now, why don't you just tell me the halacha by chotzer, and I would know evet. V'yashmina chotzer avim in a dafka chotzer. Avo evet, ligzer kafus at the shayna kafus. Since the din by an evet is only if he's tied up, so maybe I should make gzera when he's tied up, because when he's not tied up, it's not going to work. He's a chotzer malachas, and a chotzer malachas, as we learned before, a moving chotzer is not koina. Kamashim lan, we don't make gzera of kafus, atu ain't a kafus. Amar Abaya. Abaya disagrees with Rava. And he says that in this case, where he gave her a get in a chotzer, and then he was makna, he gave the chotzer as a present, it will not work. Michti. Chotzer meheches rabbi miyadah. Where do we learn the din of chotzer from? We learn it from yada. It says in the pasuk, v'nasan biyadah. He will give it into her hand. So we see that her hand, and we learn out not only her hand, but her rishus, her chotzer. Whatever she possesses, whatever is hers, is kindness. So chotzer is learned from yadah, so Abaya assumes that it has to have the same properties as her hand. Ma yada, when she acquires a get through her hand, the isa bein medai to bein bakarcha, whether it's put into her hand willingly or whether the husband puts it in by force, the halacha is that she's megareshes. Af chatzera, she acquires the item even against her will. So af chatzera, when she's kind of through chotzer, the isa bein medai to bein bakarcha, then it has, the chotzer is the same as yad, that it acquires this object whether she wants it or whether it's by force. In other words, if she owned a chotzer, she had property which her husband, the person who gave her the property, said your husband shouldn't have any rishus in it, so she is able to own properties on her own, and he threw the get into her chotzer that she owned against her will, then it's kinda. So, but if you're making this analogy between chotzer and yad, here you gave me a case of a chotzer that only comes to her through a matana. A matana, you can't give a person a present against their will. How do you, Rava, want to tell me that if he gave a chotzer or an eved that is a din of a chotzer to the wife, and then he gave her a shtar matana, and he was holding a get, that she acquires the get, because git v'chatzer born ke'echad, but we've learned out, chotzer from yad, that it has to be, it's good willingly or by force. Here you're giving me a case where it only will work willingly and not by force. And therefore it should not be a good acquisition of, it should not be a good kinyan of chotzer. Maskala Rav Simi Bar Ashi, so Rav Simi Bar Ashi defends Rav and attacks Abaya. V'hashlichas l'kabbalah. I'll bring you a proof from shlichas l'kabbalah. We know that a person can send a shliach to give a get. How do we learn this? From the pasuk which says v'sholcha. And we learned that a husband, the pasuk could have said he gave her a sefer krisis. The pasuk says he sends, and from that we learn out, since it puts it in that lashon, that he can give the get through a shliach. Now we know when the husband gives a get through a shliach, it's bal korcha, against his will. But she also can have a shliach. That's called a shliach l'kabbalah. Where do we learn this out? If you look at the third last line of Rashi, Rashi says we learn it out further in Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. The nafkula mi v'sholach v'sholcha kri bei v'sholcha b'loy mapikei. The pasuk says v'sholcha mi beisa, the husband will send her away. So the simple pshat is there's a mapikei, there's a dot in the hay, and that means that she will be sent. The wife herself will be sent. But we make a drasha of that hay without a mapik hay, and then that hay really is extra, it's not necessary, if you learn it without a mapik hay, and we say, you know what it means, v'shulcha, that she will send. Not that she is being sent, but she in fact will send, what? A shliach l'kabbalah, a shliach to accept the get on her behalf. Now when she does that,
It's willingly. So we see in the concept of shlichus that although regular shlichus is done against her will by the husband, but when she is sending the shlichus, the shliach, it's midaita, and yet it works. So what's your question about on Rava? That how could this matana help? Because a matana as chotzer is only when she wants it, and chotzer we learn from Yad, whether you want it, whether you don't want it, so therefore it shouldn't work. It's missing the component of chotzer that's learned from Yad, but I see from shlichus it works. V'abaya, how does Abaya answer Rav Simi Barashi? Artu shlichus mi yadis raboy. What are you, in fact, Tois is going to ask, what's Rav Simi Barashi's havamit? Abaya is a perfect, very easy rejoinder to Rav Simi Barashi. What are you bringing me in shlichus? We're not talking about shlichus, you're right. By shlichus the Kabbalah helps, it's only willingly, fine. But we're talking about here chotzer. Chotzer is learned from Yad. Abaya, artu shlichus mi yad is rabbi, mi v'sholach v'shulcha is rabbi. It's learned from that extra hay, and we don't learn a mapake, as we explained before. And that's how I know that a woman can make he can make a shlich loy locha, and she can make a shlich l'kabbalah. But what does that have to do with chotzer and yad? So Taisa says, in fact, it's such an obvious rejoinder. What was Rav Simi Barashi's hava mina to equate the two? So Taisa says, in the middle of the Taisa, the third bottom Taisa, Divya Maskal, Otu Shlichas. So Taisa is asking, Taimer, Rav Simi, my kushile, Otu lo yada de Shlichas, me vishalach vishilchas rabbi, ha braisi perk beis the kedushin, ha milsa de pshita le kuyama. This was a well-known thing, that Shlichas has nothing to do with chotzer, with yad. There's a new concept called Shlichas. So what are you bringing in Shlichas? We're speaking about chotzer and yad. So Taisus answers that Rav Simi Barashi, of course, knew the limit of his shilich v'sholcha, but he thought, since I find by shlichus that she can be divorced without the get coming to her hand, even though it's not possible, she could do it through a shliach when the shliach's mekabel the get. So that's considered that she is divorced, even though it's only willingly. So Rav Simi Barashi was trying to say, if I see that concept by shlichus, I should apply the same concept to our sugya, which is speaking about chotzer and yad. And Abaya says, no, don't compare one to the other. That's a special halacha of shlichus. Don't confuse it with this parsha, which is a whole different thing. It's speaking about yad and chotzer. And then Abaya says another point. Even if I'll say that shlichus has a connection with chotzer and yad, but in fact, by shlichus lekabola, it's not across the board that it's only done with her willingness. We find a place where shlichus lekabola is accepted by karcha. Shekain av mekabel get lebit tana bal karcha. We find that a father can accept a get for his small daughter against her will. So that's enough for me to consider that shlichas is done by korcha. Memele, you can't have a kasha that I find shlichas is midas and yet it works. So Abaye is saying I have two ways to wend off the kasha that Rav Simi Barashi has. I mean, I still hold I have a very good kasha. Therefore, I disagree with Rava. I hold that chotzer by which we learn from Yad has to be good willingly or against her will, which is not the case by Matana, and therefore it shouldn't work. Lamaisa, in spite of the fact that Abaye has this kasha, halacha lamaisa, we do paskin like Rava that in this case she will be megureshes. The Gemara goes on to explain the next part of the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah Daf Yates, Ala Kol Kaisvin, you could write a get on anything. What can you write it on? Ala Ola Shel Zayis, you can write it on a detached leaf from a olive. And also it says, Valkaren Shel Por, the Mishnah said, on a horn of a cow. And then, V'noisin L'Esapor, he has to give her to the cow. Val Yad Shel Eved, you can write on the hand of an Eved. V'noisin L'Esapor, he gives her to Eved. Ask the Gemara, Vish Lami Yad Eved, the hand of an Eved, as we turn to the Chafal from a base, Loyev Shulamiksa, you cannot cut it off. As Rashi explains, that since an Eved is Chayv in Mitzvahs, like a woman, the owner has no Rishus to damage the Eved. And in fact, if he damages the Eved,
eved with certain limbs, the halacha is that the eved goes l'cheiris. So we see Rashi says, "Ein rishoy l'chavoboy." You have no right to cut off his hand, and therefore the only way that this could be a good get is if you give the whole eved over to the isha. Ella karen shalpora. Why does he have to give over the whole cow? Let's say let him cut off the horn. V'leis v'long, let her give her the horn. Amar kra. No, that will not work because the pasuk says v'kasev l'seif v'krisis v'nasim b'yada. So I learn out that the cost of an asala, there cannot be an intermediate step. From the ksiva, it has to go to nesina. Mi she'ena mechusar l'ksiva nesina. All that's missing is writing and giving. Yatzazed, this will exclude the case of a horn of a cow. She'emechusar ksiva ktsitsav nesina. You're putting in an extra step. You're cutting off the horn from the animal. Memela is an extra step, and that would invalidate the get. And therefore, you have to give her to a whole cow. That's the only way it will be good. The Mishnah continued, Rabbi Yosef Lili Oimer, Ein Kaistvin Loyal Dover Shesh by Ruachaim, Veloyal Oichlin. Rabbi Yosef Lili disagrees with the Tanakham in all three cases. You cannot use a Balchai, and therefore you cannot write the get on an Eved or on a Pora, because they're living. And also, you cannot write it on the leaf of a fig, because it is edible. It's food that a dove will eat. And Memele, Rabbi Yosef Lili holds, will be puzzled for a get. Ask the Gemara, in my time at Rabbi Yosef Lili, where does Rabbi Yosef Lili learn that something that is alive you cannot write a get on, or something of food you cannot write a get on? The Sani, we learned in the Brisa, safer. It says in the positive, it costs less safer creases than us and beyond, so ainly a safer, which Rashi says is a cloth. And this I learn out from Baruch ben Neria, because when Yirmiyahu was in prison, he had a nevuah which he gave over to Baruch ben Neria, and Baruch ben Neria wrote it down, it says, in a sefer. And subsequently, that sefer is called a megillah, which is a parchment scroll. So when the pasuk hereby gets a sefer, I would say that that means only a cloth parchment. Learning it out from Yirmiyahu, Minayin L'Rabbis called over. How do I know that you can really write it on anything, not only a parchment? Tam Loimer, the pasuk says, V'kasav lo mikol makom. Because the Torah, as Rashi explains, could have said, V'nasan lo. How can you give a sefer krisis unless you write it? If you don't write it, you can't give it. So the pasuk didn't have to say V'kasav lo. That's a superfluous word. Elamai must be teaching you that it's not only valid on a sefer, it's valid on anything that you can write on. Minayin L'Rabbis called over. How do we know to add anything? Talmud lo, everything. Talmud lo, V'kasav lo mikol makom. He write it on anything that it could be written on. In came out Talmud lo v'sefer. So why, in fact, did the Torah limit it by writing a sefer, which means cloth? So I answer, as Tosis explains, that this is a case of klal uprat uklal. The kosav is a general rule. The sefer is a prat, a specific item. And then it says, the nosan, and he should give, is a general rule. And we have a rule, klal, uprat, uklal, that ein bechlal, the klal is ke'ena prat. That whatever is similar to the prat, that's what the klal is including. Ma sefer, dover shein ba ruach chayim, just like a sefer. A parchment is something that has no life in it. Ve'ein oichel, it's also not food. Af kol dover she'ein boi ruach chaim. Ve'ein oichel, so too anything that has no life and is not a food is acceptable to write on it. So through klal uprat to klal, he limits it to something that is not alive and is not edible, but anything else, it doesn't have to be a sefer as long as it meets these criteria that it's ein boi ruach chaim and ein oichel. The Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yosef Lili, and they say that even if it's alive, even if it's a food, it is acceptable. What do they do with the limud of Rabbi Yosef Lili? The Gemara says, Iksiv basafer, if it would say he should write it in a book, in a cloth, kitakamrit, then you would be right. But hashid iksiv sefer, now it doesn't say in a book, it just says sefer, I could interpret it to mean, lesfiras dvorim, who does it? That the pasuk is coming to tell you that this is, you write down the telling of a story, the narration, you're writing down a formula. It doesn't mean you're writing it in a book. And if you're writing down a formula, you're writing down the narration, that could be in anything. It's not limiting it to a parchment cloth. V'rabonon hai v'kosmai avdilei. As Tosis explains, There's two vikasavs in the pasuk. The one vikasav we learned through the whole masechta is lishma, that it has to be done l'shem aisha. The Gemara is questioning the other vikasav. Bishlam, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, I use the vikasav as part of the klal uprat uklal to teach us that it has to be something that's ein by ruachayim and it's einoy oichol. If it is a ruachayim or oichol, then it's pasul. So I need the vikasav. But according to the Rabbanan, that the sefer is not limiting it to a klaf. So I don't need the whole klal uprat uklal. I don't have to add anything to the prat because there's no prat. The sefer means a sipur dvorim ba'alma. So what do I need for the second vikasav? Meboilel, I need it for the following. B'ksiva mizgareshes, that the only way you can make a get is through writing a document, v'ein mizgaresh b'kesev, and she is not megurish through a kesev, through money. In other words, Rashi says, if he would give her a pruta and say to her, through this pruta you should become divorced, it will not work. Why? Salkadatachem, and I would have thought, ikish yitzil avaya. Since it says, v'holcha v'hoysa l'ishacher, v'yotza v'hoysa l'ishacher, that she will go out and she will be to another man. What does it mean, she'll be? It means that she will get married to another man. So the Torah puts together the yitzia to the havaya, the get to the becoming married, one word next to the other, the yatzav aisa. I would think ma havaya bekesav, just like when she gets married. We learned the Masechta Kedusha and that she can get married through kesav, shtar, or bia, but one of the three ways is kesav. So af yitzia, not the kesav. When she gets divorced, maybe it would also work through kesav. Kamash malon. That's why the Torah says vikasav, that it has to be only through a get document, through the shtar haget, that she gets divorced and not through kesef. V'idach, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, how does he know this halacha? If he uses v'kasef for his klal u'pratu klal to be mamay, it's something that's living and food. So how does he learn the din of the chachamim that money does not work by gittin? V'idach nafkle misafer krisis. It puts the word safer right next to the word krisis. So I learn out safer karsa v'ein davachar karsa, that only the safer, only the get, is the thing that cuts her off from her husband, and nothing else will cut her off. Money will not work. Ve'idach, and the Rabbanan, what do they do with sefer krisis? Meboile, they learn a different drasha for that. Dover ha'kairis b'ein el'beino. It has to be a document that is going to cut him and her off one from the another. But if the document causes them in some way to remain united, that is not a good get. What do we mean? Kedusanya. As we learned in the Braisa. If somebody said, here is your get, amanas, on the condition, shaloi tishti yayin, that you shouldn't drink wine, or amanas, shaloi teich lebeis avich, you should not visit your father's home. No, it depends. If he says, lo'oilam, if he says that for the rest of your life, I don't want you to visit your father, and if you do, then the get retroactively is not a get, and you're still married to me, or I don't want you to drink wine forever, till the last day of your life. And if you do drink wine till the end of your life, you're still married to me. So it comes out that this document is not kairos. It's not cutting her off from him. Ein zekrisis. It, the Brisa says, but if he said, that I don't want you to drink for 30 days, that means at the end of the 30 days, if you keep the condition, then you will be separated. I raise that creases, then there's a valid get. So where do I learn that out from? I learn it out from safer creases, that it has to be such a document that is going to cause a rupture in the relationship at some point, and not that there is a residual connection between the husband and the wife for the rest of their lives. V'idach, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who used the safer krisis for safer karsa, v'ein davachar karsa, that money cannot be used as a get. So what, where does he learn out this halacha of it's davar hakayres beina lebeina? He learns it from Ikaris Krisis, because the Torah could have said Sefer Karis. It didn't have to say Sefer Krisis. So according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, I learn out from that phrase to Dinim. I learn out that Sefer is Karis Vein Dover Acher Karsa, and I also learn out from the second limit that it has to be Dover HaKairis Beinah LeBeinah Ve'idach, and the Rabbanon, who are only learning out one Din from Sefer Krisis, they're only learning out davar akaris beinah lebeinah, and the other halacha of sefer karsa vein davar akar karsa, they're learning out from vikasav. Why don't they learn both out from the plural of krisis? The answer is, karas krisis like darshi. They don't consider this a valid limud. They consider it that it's only teaching us one thing, it's not teaching us two things, and therefore they need vikasav to teach us that b'ksiva megareshes, ve'ena megareshes b'kesev, they do not learn out both lamudim, as Rabbi Yisrael Glili does, from sefer krisis. And this brings us to an end of this sugya.